stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a call-in question for my guest or any thoughts, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And my guest today is calling in. It's Commissioner Bishop. She is the Commissioner of the Department of Education. Commissioner, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Where are you calling in from?
I am calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. That's where I work in the state building, right on 7th Street.
Now, I have to be a little chidey here. How's your snow? Because we were plowed.
Well, I would say that I think the roads are plowed now. So, I'm actually a resident of the Mat-Su Valley, but work here in Anchorage.
That was probably a tough commute last week, I would think.
It was. It was definitely, you know, the schools and state offices did shut down a little bit just because they couldn't keep up with the snow. But roads look good now, and all the main roads, of course, are tremendous. They're great. It's the neighborhoods that are struggling right now.
You know, when I was a kid growing up here in Fairbanks, Alaska, I never got a snow day or a cold day off. And my mom was so appreciative of that. Oh my goodness. let's start with a little bit of your background. You lived in North Pole for a little bit starting your career.
I did. I right after college, graduating in 1990, came up looking for a job in education and settled in the Fairbanks area. I taught in schools there as a substitute, long-term substitute at actually North Pole High School at the time. It was newer at that time. Ryan Elementary and quite a few, or Ryan Middle School, and then quite a few elementaries around Fairbanks. So couldn't land a job in Fairbanks at the time, but I was able to get hired in Copper River School District, where I spent my first 2 years. This is my 34th in education. I did take a short stint off last year.
You know, 30 years goes by so fast, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. Too fast.
Don't ask me how I know that.
Yeah.
So you've been the Commissioner of Education for how long now?
Just about 3 months.
Okay.
So, in this position since the end of the summer. And it's a great way to continue to serve the state. I had been at the local education agency level, which we call LEAs, not the state education is the SEA, which is the state governance, but had spent, you know, in school districts and schools and boots on the ground. I certainly miss that, but here I can really take a step back and take a bigger picture of the entire state and how do we move student learning forward.
You know, you can't do the 40,000-foot view unless you've been at the 1,000-foot level, and you've done that, so good for you.
I agree. From substitute teaching to coaching to teaching in the classroom, assistant principal, superintendent, you know, I've mopped my fair share of floors and taken out trash and done, I would say, was a nurse a little bit, helping kids. So just everything that could go on in the school, I think I, over my tenure, had jumped in and just, you know, done boots on the ground. It's important in our state to understand that.
Good for you. You were telling me about some test scores that this came back.
Yeah, they're actually phenomenal. And Fairbanks area has 5 charter schools. And what this, you may have heard before, you know, Alaska ranks the lowest in NAEP, which is the National Assessment of Education Progress. And for those who don't know, it's actually the federal government comes in through this testing service, and so you really can't influence it. Teachers and principals and superintendents have nothing to do with this in their districts. They come in and they randomly select schools across the nation and assess the students in only 4th and 8th grade on a set pretty high standards, you know, a set level of standards to see what they know and are able to do. And there's never been a disaggregation of those data at the charter school level across the nation. It's always been all schools. And so our charters that were selected in the past have all been grouped in with all schools because they're public. But what we found this year is they pulled out charters across the nation, and when they looked state to state, they found that Alaska by far was the highest outcome the highest ranking and had the highest outcomes for our students. Not only just high, we were an outlier with over a year gained on our other peer charters around the nation, which, of course, we already know that charters outperform our own public, generally neighborhood schools. So
yes,
just fantastic information and a time to celebrate that there's things going right in Alaska in public education and now, primarily through this charter flflexibility. Yeah.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Now, you're also telling me about a study that the governor directed and some of the internal and external fixes to help the education process.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That was the teacher retention and recruitment. There's a playbook that was just published this fall, but it was 3 years of research data going around talking to different groups, all different stakeholder groups, from the teachers themselves to, you know, hiring agencies. They talked to the municipal leagues, you know, just to understand different area costs and how do we keep high-quality teachers. And the first and foremost item that came out of there was really incentive pay to stay, as well as incentive pay to come and teach in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be our salaries, you know, you probably remember, salaries, you know, really did outperform in lots of different sectors as well, you know, across our state outperformed the nation. And so people sought Alaska to really start their lives and you know, and not only enjoy Alaska, but be able to be well paid.
A good way of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the governor did put out HB 106 last year, which looked to increase, and the Big Five, which Fairbanks is one of them, which we call the Big Five school districts, Kenai, Matsu, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, although they are many different sizes themselves, would receive $5,000 a year per teacher. That's retirement, TIRSable, we call it, you know, that's mm-hmm. for retirement salary. But in most places, it was $10,000. The REAs, the place, the regional education education areas, they would receive $10,000. And then the very remote places that really struggle with recruitment would get $15,000. And the purpose of that was to really attract anyone at the end of their career that's just a high-performing teacher to, you know, go and influence their retirement, influence,
yep.
you know, their amount of money to teach for 3 years and really support that education in rural Alaska.
Hmm, that's wonderful. Well, any other thoughts from that?
I think it's paramount that we, I really believe in the people closest to the students have the most effect on them. I'm probably the farthest away from students where I work in education. And so my influence has to be with the people to be good leaders around me, to support their people. But we always have to take a look at the people closest to the students and understand what's happening in our classrooms. My experience is teachers want to be treated as professionals. They want to be held accountable, and they just want to get to work. You know, they sometimes are bogged down with all the other things that we ask schools to do. And I think if we stuck to our mission, and we would do pretty well. And I think charter schools that really, that's how they operate. They stick closely to their mission and put focus on the classrooms. A lot of charter schools don't have a lot of the extras in schools. They really just, you know, get down to it and put extra teachers in classrooms to be able to educate kids.
They don't have to deal with the minutia of public philosophy. It's an education philosophy.
Right. Back to their mission. They just stick to it and they get things done.
Yeah. You know? Commissioner, we're going to take a quick commercial break. KVR listeners, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Commissioner Bishop calling in from Anchorage, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
It's Tickets for Turkeys time again with KFAR Radio and your Fairbanks Ice Dogs. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank needs 2,000 turkeys this year to fill their Thanksgiving food boxes. So we've teamed up with the Fairbanks Ice Dogs to help. For every turkey you drop off at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank on 26th Avenue, you'll get an entry to win a night with your Fairbanks Ice Dogs. You'll get 4 front row seats on the glass, 4 Tommy G brats delivered right to your seats, and you get to watch warm-ups from the Ice Dogs bench. Since there are no Ice Dogs home games in December, this prize package is for Friday night, January 12th. When the Dogs take on the Anchorage Wolverines. A great way to start out the new year. Turkeys will be accepted through November 21st, and we will announce our winner on the 23rd. The more birds you bring in, the more chances you have to win. It's Tickets for Turkeys time again with KFAR Radio and your Fairbanks Ice Dogs.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
More clouds than sun today, with highs around 8 above. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 4 below. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 9 above. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Commissioner Bishop calling in. How you doing, Commissioner?
I'm doing well, thanks.
You know, you're going to be going into your first legislative session. Congratulations and condolences.
Well, thank you.
So any thoughts on your first process of it?
You know, I'm looking forward to it, but you don't know what you don't know until you participate, especially in this capacity. I have for years and years really built relationships with our legislators in regard to education and other things in our state. And have testified and have shared, you know, data that has been requested. For me, transparency and really working together is paramount. You know, sometimes when we don't like what we see in outcomes or, you know, scores or this or that, or just really what reality looks like, we try to maybe tell a different story or our own story. And for me, that we're both sitting looking at, you know, similar data or we have a similar understanding of what's happening. We might have different reasons or feel differently about it, but transparency of information is key for me in really working and you know, moving really Alaska's young people forward and getting a solid education that's going to really have them have happy, healthy families when they grow.
There you go. Yeah.
We need to prepare our kids, I want to say, for their next life, which involves big people decisions, involves working, contributing to society, not necessarily being a consumer, but also a contributor.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Commissioner Bishop, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for the commissioner, and I'll hang up and listen after I ask them. Number one, what do you think of the governor's veto of half of the appropriation that the legislature appropriated for education statewide? That's my first question. Number two, what do you think of the suppression of the report on teacher salaries by trends? By the governor's office? And three, what do you think of the Matt Sue book banning and the federal lawsuit pending?
Thank you for the questions, Mel. Commissioner?
Okay, so BSA was number one, the ban was number two, and the data on teachers, or ban was number three and the teachers too. So first on the BSA, you know, things were moving quite along, and I was, you know, following the BSA, although I wasn't in my present position. And it was huge. And as Alaskans, we need to ask ourselves, you know, what is the opportunity cost for that? Where do the funds come from, and how do we generate them to be able to put into education? I am supportive of school funding. But in my 30 over, you know, this is 34 now for me since 1990, I do see that it would be beneficial for our state to support education through really block grants through outcomes that we want to see. When we passed a law of the READS Act, I think we should pay for those outcomes and the additional positions that may be needed there. Really looking at what are the needs. I also see with that BSA, you had, if you saw the data on fund balance, there were some districts with over $300 million in fund balance who shared, you know, a deficit of, you know, $75 million. And but we're sitting with a fund balance. So I looked at that, and some districts didn't have any fund balance. So somehow we need to figure out how do we get the money where
it's needed appropriately.
The cost, yeah, that it's needed. And just be transparent. Like, I understand that fund balance doesn't last forever. That's not new money and recurring money. That it's a savings account. So once you spend it, it's gone. Mm-hmm. But we should be forthright in sharing. You know, I still have money, you know, from whether it was federal money or just generated fund balance within our own systems, that this is the money I have, but it's going to end. We do need to continue inputs and adjusting for inflation. But we have to, if we're asking for money, we have to be very honest. And I think when the legislature asked for that report, that's when things got a little wonky. That's when things were, everybody took a step back because not all the information was on the table. So that's what I think about the BSA. And I do believe that there'll be inputs into the BSA as well as other education funding happening this year. As far as the teacher data, I wasn't privy to the circumstances around that, but certainly anyone in Alaska, I had just shared that the governor himself put out a bill to pay teachers more. So the idea, and I had, you know, I bargained, created, new contracts over the years, and Alaska teacher salaries is part of that and has never been a secret. So anybody paying attention to education, that wasn't new information. And in fact, the data wasn't even that bad. Basically, Alaska is 10th now or something. And so being number 10 out of 50 some odd, because I had some territories in there as well, is not necessarily this horrible data that we don't want to get out. So I'm not sure the circumstances around holding it, but I do know that the governor himself understood teachers need to be paid more. And hence he had that bill. I mean, and that was out in the TRR report. So again, I can't speak to the particular circumstances, but if you're an educator or in education, that wasn't any kind of a surprise. And, you know, in fact, money was on the table to change those outlooks already last year. As far as the ban in Matsu, yep, I think that school districts have processes and procedures, and that's a public one. And I hope that the public, you know, pays attention to it. When there's concern, I operated from a school district that also had, processes for having not only, curriculum that an individual child receives, maybe being able to opt out, which is part of our law. It is a right of parents to opt their children out of particular curriculum as they see fit. But it also, there's processes for really challenging, why are we using this, you know, book or this textbook, or it could be like a novel. So as long as, you know, we are giving due process and having a public process for those, I think as a society, that's what we do. We don't just unilaterally decide, you know, that this isn't good or this is good or bad, you know, likewise, but the public process and having that in policy is essential. And I have not read those books, but from what I know, the actual people that are on, it's taking so long because the people actually, I think over 20 members have to sit and read all of those books and weigh in on them and have open discussions about them. So it's not a private gathering of people deciding these. I hope the public continues to pay attention and just follow along and really continue the input of what parents, kids, teachers want in their school systems and what they don't. I think that's important.
You know, as I was telling you before we came on the air, I'm glad I'm not on a school board. Boy, does that get emotional. And boy, you know, you took a look at education and then the money and then the jockeying for position on who gets funded, what is the political philosophy, what is the education philosophy. And, you know, I just try and keep the police, you know, employed, more of them, get, you know, keep the roads plowed and things like that. But education, that is emotional many times over. So mm-hmm. kudos to those people who volunteer or are a part of this process, because you're always going to be challenged by what you think is right, always. And hopefully they can, you know, people who are involved in this, no matter what your philosophies, political, economic, social are, you know, I thank them for what they do. I really do.
I concur. It is not an easy job. I think that boards that come together that, like you said, just a different, you know, whatever's going on in society, kind of our schools are a little microcosm of that. But if we can push that aside and just look at young people and say, what do we want for them in their future? Our parents do, you know, the parents that I talk to and that I listen to want their child to be able to grow up happy and healthy. And again, be able to, they want their children, a lot of them, to stay in our state, to work, stay in their communities, have opportunities to work in their communities. They want them to have the skills, employability skills, you know, be able to work together, be able to have good self-agency, you know, the me skills and the we skills, to be able to be successful with other people. It's going to take us all to ensure that this happens. So, and a lot of those things just start with really paramount things that we've forgotten about. Are kids able to read? Are we making sure our kids read by the time they leave us? Can kids do simple math? Because once they hit, when they're older, information is ubiquitous. Information is out there, but what do we do with it is going to matter a lot.
Very true. As we were talking prior to this, our educations and how we got to where we're at, and you were parochial school until eighth grade, and then you went into public school, and I was parochial, public, then back to parochial, and I was jealous of you. You went to high school with a lot of people, and I didn't get to go to high school with a lot of people. but like I said,
we're free.
But all my teachers, be it public or private, were engaged with me. And I always believe that the best education comes from a student who is held accountable or wants to learn, but is held accountable for not, parents who are involved, and a teacher who's involved with that student. You have to have those three things for to get a person, a quality education. If the parents aren't involved, if they're just looking at, you know, the teachers as a babysitting service, that's on them.
Yep. Parent involvement is paramount. You are absolutely correct. And I think, you know, teachers see that. And I come from a place where I think kids should be the hardest working people in the system.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we try to clear the path for them because, you know, over the pandemic, we feel bad for them here and there. And really, we just need to prepare them for the path, not clear the path for them. And I think... I know as the superintendent of Anchorage, and I've shared it, the moment that we cooperated and, you know, had kids that spring, and no one ever believed that it would be that difficult to get kids back in school, that
true,
as adults
true.
We chose to really take care of adult things instead of kids. And I have shared over and over again publicly that I think that was wrong.
Commissioner, we're going to...
I know we didn't know a lot.
We're going to jump into a commercial break real fast, okay?
Sure.
And we'll be back. Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas could come soon. The White House says they're close to an agreement to pause fighting in exchange for hostages. President Joe Biden.
We're now very close. We could bring some of these hostages home very soon. But I don't want to get into the details of things because nothing is done until it's done.
Until then, federal authorities investigating a leak from an underwater oil pipeline 19 miles off the coast of Louisiana. It may have released more than a million gallons of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico. Captain Kelly Denning with the Coast Guard Sector New Orleans talking about why they could detect something was wrong.
Between the evening hours of Wednesday, November 15th, and the morning hours of Thursday, November 16th, a pressure anomaly was detected in a pipeline.
The Coast Guard said so far no reports of injuries or shoreline impacts. They are investigating. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that monthly bills for Alaskans using the federal health insurance marketplace are set to rise some 16% in 2024, coming on top of an 18% increase in the previous year that, in total, will bump up costs by more than one-third in a two-year span. Higher overall health care costs and a post-pandemic spike in the amount of health care sought by Alaskans are driving the jump in monthly premiums, according to interviews with a top state regulator, an insurance executive, and Alaska's chief medical officer. Insurance company profits, they added, are not the cause. Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield, whose 20,000 members make up some 80% of the 24,000-person individual market in Alaska, recorded $26.5 million in operating losses providing that coverage last year, it said in a filing with the federal government. The year-to-year increase in Alaska's individual market is among the highest in the nation, in a state that already has some of the nation's steepest health care costs. The enrollment period for 2024 coverage began November 1st and continues through January 15th.
Online at KFAR660.com.
What's better than Black Friday or Cyber Monday? The Holiday Auction, powered by Satellite West, of course. It's an entire week of nonstop auction action. We kick things off with our auction showcase, beginning Friday morning, December 1st at 8 a.m., on air and online at AlaskaRadioAuction.com. With all the instant items you know and love, with some new ones thrown in, we have great gift ideas at 40 to 50% off the retail value. Plus, the bidding on certain items doesn't stop when the microphone turns off. Now you'll have more ways to save with more items to bid on all week long, like auto starts, bikes, big boy toys, and more during auction week. It's the statewide holiday auction powered by Satellite West. Keep checking at AlaskaRadioAuction.com. We may have a few surprises for you during auction week. We start the bidding and buying Friday, December 1st at 8 a.m. and follow the auction all week long at AlaskaRadioAuction.com. From Fairbanks to Anchorage and the Matsu, it's the statewide holiday auction powered by Satellite West, home of the new Bullet Defy satellite link.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Commissioner Bishop on the radio with me, calling in from Anchorage. How are you doing, Commissioner?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And I just had in the office, in the studio, walk in Melissa Burnett. She's on our local school board, and basically she was saying, you get it. You're nailing it. She wants to have a discussion with you, and hope that's okay. She's smiling, and you know when she's not smiling, she is upper management to me. She is upper management. But when she's not smiling is when I get it. But anyway, Melissa.
Yeah, Commissioner Bishop, thank you so much for being on today with David Pruse. I really appreciate it, and I actually spent the first half of the show listening just because I wanted to hear a little bit of your take on things going on and stuff. And I got to say, I really appreciate your stance on the Alaska Reads Act. That was kind of one of my main reasons for wanting to come in today and talk to you, you know, as a sitting school board member. We've got a lot of concerns when it comes to Alaska Reads Act, and my main concern was, you know, we got this $30 per student. It came outside the BSA, and so that means, you know, it didn't go through our multipliers. And so really, like here in Fairbanks, we've only got about, what, 12,400 kids or so. So it came out to be like $375,000. And, you know, like our superintendent stuff, where we're going over the numbers and we're going over what it takes to successfully implement the Alaska Reads Act in full. You know, like really technically, we would want to have at least one tutor per level K through three, right? That's at least 60 additional tutors here in Fairbanks. I mean, we've got tons of schools, 15 elementary schools, that's not counting our charters. So, you know, that's like an additional $5 million a year to successfully implement the Alaska Reads Act. And so when you said, And I don't mean to quote you, but, you know, you were like, we got to find a way to pay for those additional positions. I actually really appreciated that. So I wanted to say thank you for that, because that's a big concern of ours here in Fairbanks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And you hit really the feedback that I'm getting is really on those tutors, because our teachers are working on that core one,
yep.
You know, that core instruction, the first tier, rather. And it's the, when kids need additional, we need high quality teachers that have been trained that, you know, a lot of times if you want to hold on to them, you got to pay people. So I want, I'm looking at really higher pay. So honestly, I've had conversations and putting together a white paper in regard to the need for that piece of it, because it's the outside of the school day tutoring. We would need people with flexible schedules before, after school, or
yep.
You know, just another position. That, again, can be really highly trained and just be an asset to every school, work with the principal, work with the teachers, and just be that person that, you know, if I send kids to them, I know what they're, you know, they're going to follow through with these different instructions. So working on that with our team to do a proposal this year for the legislature to be able to, you know, really support that.
That's awesome.
Quality people in their local communities. Because the other part of this is, you know, a lot of times in rural Alaska, people come and go, teachers, because, you know, sometimes they just want an adventure out in rural Alaska. Sometimes they can't purchase land out there, so they want to come to the road system.
Yeah.
So really hiring people in their own communities is key as well.
No, I agree with that 100%. And I also appreciate the fact that, you know, you're trying to form this plan with the legislature. That was kind of my question to you, is like, how do we, first off, as a school board, you know, we're part of the Big Five, sure. But, you know, like you mentioned, all the rural districts and stuff, they're a part of this as well. And so how do we as school districts really get the legislature to understand that while we understand are trying to be, you know, good neighbors to our state, we're trying to realize that, hey, we're in a budget situation, even the state's in a budget situation, and we're all trying to find the money for this and that, and just to take care of infrastructure and to take care of our state. But how do we get the legislature to understand that as much as people would like to make education political, education should not be political? And our kids, well, they're having a hard time reading. And I don't think there's anybody out there who can stand up and say, that's not true. Like, we, you know, that's why we have this focus with the Reads Act. So how do we get them to understand that, and to get them to even increase the BSA more than they have been willing to in the past? Because, I mean, that's really where this is going to go. You know, this is the fruition is going to come from funding. We need funding. And I know that people are, you know, anti-education. We don't want to give more money because we're not seeing these results.
People will say, well, it's more money you give education, less permanent fund dividend I get.
Right, exactly. So how do we kind of fight that argument, I guess?
Well, I think with this internal, and this is just really how I operated, that I understand whether you want to talk the business aspect of it, the education sector aspect of it, that when a place is good to invest, because outcomes are good, you know, that I want to be a place where people invest. And so I am going to demonstrate, I did this as a superintendent, I'm going to demonstrate success, and I want my school to be the best, you know.
Right.
Of course, you know, you're working, you know, in your own little world, and you want all of Alaska schools. You know, I think that it will happen, and I think we need to start to, right now, what we like is increase the BSA and then just leave us alone, we'll take care of it. And I would say things like the Reads Act, things like that you mentioned, infrastructure, other items, you know, the governor himself actually put out money to go directly to teachers.
Yeah.
So there are, I think, agreements in schools and school districts that we have, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, that people understand, yep, teachers need to get paid, yep, we need to take care of infrastructure, yep, we need outcomes, kids need to read. So I think when we start identifying the things that we have similar to each other, no matter what side of the aisle on, that, and let's pay for these, because we know that these things are difference makers, that I think we can come. But we, you know, I would say as a superintendent for years and years and years, it was just all about the BSA, and I'm okay with having money tied to things that I know are good expenditures in my district. It does, you know, more like block grants.
Right.
Very similar, you know. And so maybe that's the place that we start. And when we demonstrate We know how to get the job done in districts. We know how to, you know, support kids. We know how to support teachers and our families. And I do believe in like a standardization, but I believe in customization too, that local school districts and schools should be able to customize how they want. But on those big ideas, maybe we share, like, we understand this is for teachers, it's going to go there, this is for. And so I think that that's an area that I think we can win both sides to come together for the young people of Alaska.
Oh, I agree with that as well. And, you know, I also think, you know, with the Attorney General also kind of doing what he's doing and kind of keeping districts like, hey, here's the rules, here's the laws. I think that also benefits with the legislature because, you know, they tend to hold off because of things that they see going on that they might not necessarily agree with. So I also appreciate where that's going with the Attorney General and the governor. And
making them accountable.
Yeah, making our school districts and holding them accountable, absolutely, 100%. And so that's also a good direction, too. Now, I appreciate you coming on and being here today, Commissioner Bishop. It's been really great listening to you. And I'm glad, you know, I was kind of curious if you were kind of on the same thinking or if, you know, I know that you kind of helped, you know, form the Alaska Reads Act and such, and we're kind of a part of this. And so I really do appreciate where you're at with it and your stances. And I hope that, you know, as school districts, we can kind of come together and figure out how to make this work for us, because, you know, it reading is important, and I think this is a good way to achieve it. We just have to figure out how to plug those numbers in, too.
And Commissioner, just so you know, her office is right across the hall from my studio, so she likes to give me a short leash and keep her thumb on me, and she puts me in this room with purple padding with sparkles, and I've got North Korean equipment here.
And I bombard like every show.
I'm in a hostile situation.
Like fun.
Yeah, see, Commissioner Bishop and I would get along very well.
Keep him in the purple padded room.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So are you going to be going down to Juneau at all a few times, I'm sure?
Oh, absolutely. I actually head down every month. You know, our deputy commissioner runs the office down there, but I'm down there monthly as well. And so we share the, you know, just the work of the department. But certainly during this session, I'll be down there quite a bit.
Any agenda items on your plate?
You know, really just in my sector, it is about the education funding, taking a look at that. I would really like our teachers and have some of that incentive so that school districts can keep their teachers, you know, incentivize teachers to stay, as well as the support for the Reads Act and paraprofessionals. I look really to offer, the governor put in extra money into CTE, and we're offering some grants for districts that are like districts, same size districts, to really have some funds to put into infrastructure, as board member just mentioned.
Yes.
Sometimes you need to update your facilities or your equipment, and sometimes it takes a good chunk of money. So we're turning that around very quickly this spring into grants to school districts to really help out where we can for those outcomes that districts are saying. They believe in CTE. They want to invest in their workforce, and they want reading. So I'm just trying to listen to those. You know, I just keep my ear. I've got, you know, a couple of ears to keeping them open.
Thank you for listening.
Commissioner Bishop, thank you for coming on. I was promised only 30 minutes with you by your handlers. They kept me at bay, and it's been 45. And anytime you want to come on, just let me know, and you can give us updates, insight, things like that. Just really appreciate your discussions from the view that you get, and you understand the 1,000-foot level view, too, because you've been there.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, and you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, quit sucking up.
No, that was, I actually, seriously, I had a whole different path that I was going. You and I talked, you know, I had a whole different path for this. Like, very impressive.
Yeah.
Before I even came in, like I said, I was listening, and she hit a few things right off the bat that I really wanted to hammer on, and it had to do with the funding, and that was really great.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Hot Brown, Melissa Burnett, and I will be back after this message.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers, plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem, and they're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay. Well done.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com, findoutfree.com.
KFAR Weather.
Highs level off around 8 above today. Under mainly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 4 below tonight. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, high of 9 above. Much warmer Thursday and Friday, with highs from the low 20s to the mid 20s. Chance for snow Thursday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Melissa Burnett in the studio with me here. Did you enjoy that?
I did, actually. Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what I expected. You know, I even, what was really funny was I even messaged Senator Myers the other day, and I was like, hey, I'm going to have an opportunity to speak to Commissioner Bishop. Have you met her? Do you know her? What's she like? Like, just trying to get a little insight so I know, you know, what to expect or whatever. And even, you know, they're like, well, I've met her once on a Zoom call. I don't know much, whatever. And I very, very impressed. I like her, and she seems like she knows what's up. She understands the complexity of the issue, you know. The big thing that I hammer on a lot, well, most of our board hammers on, even the old board before the elections, was the Alaska Reads Act kind of came at us without a lot of answers, right?
Or input.
It was a here's this, now do it kind of situation. And even our teachers are sitting here going, okay, we're going to do this, but how do we do this? Where's the development? Where's this? Where's that? And at the beginning,
It didn't seem like there was an implementation strategy.
No, not at all. I think that the legislature kind of came up with it, and then they were like, okay, this is good, let's do it. And the implementation kind of sideswiped everybody. But we've been doing it, right? We sucked it up, Buttercup, and we've kind of, that's
yeah,
the
no
best
choice.
Way.
Yeah. This is unfundable.
Yeah.
First of all, this is an unfunded mandate.
Yes.
Well, and the funding that they give you to do this
was nothing.
Was improportionate
yes.
to what was needed.
Yes, absolutely.
And you just had a discussion with the Commissioner of Education, and she's realizing that.
Yeah, and she's realizing that now. Yeah. We just need the legislature to realize that too, you know? Like, okay, the big argument right now is, you know, when the school districts ask for more money, the legislature is, well, we just gave you $30 increase. Okay, but that was outside of the BSA. It was not, which means that when things come in through the BSA for funding, it goes through our multiplier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can turn $30 per student into more than that, and you can end up with, I don't know, $5 million out of something minuscule. Well, because this $30 per student was not part of the BSA, it was outside, that means it did not touch the multipliers, which means we got face value $30 per student to implement the Alaska Reads Act, which involves professional development for our teachers. It involves hiring tutors. You need at least one per grade level, as yeah. I mentioned earlier. That's real. So we're going to need 60 tutors. 20 tutors is $1 million. So think of it that way, right?
No, I'm not going to think about that. You know what I'm going to think about? The ultimate hockey family weekend.
Yeah.
Now explain what I just said.
Yeah, the ultimate family hockey weekend?
Yeah. Describe your weekend. What's going to happen?
Oh, goodness.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So, happy Thanksgiving. My husband and my son, who plays 16U Tier 2 comp hockey, he is taking off and going to Vegas. They leave tonight at 2 a.m., so they're leaving for Las Vegas, Nevada. They're going to participate in the Silver Sticks tournament. Mm-hmm. So, and then on Thursday morning, my daughter and I are packing up my truck, and we are taking off to Anchorage, where we are going down for turkey shoot. So my daughter and I will be in Anchorage. The husband and one son are in Vegas, and then my oldest son is at
abandoned.
Home.
What are you doing with the abandoned son?
He is watching dogs for $300. Five of them. Three corgis, a big dumb dog, or two corgis, a big dumb German Shepherd, a big dumb Mastiff Border Collie mix, and then a tiny little poodle who is just a pain in the tuchus.
You know, it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I don't think there's, you know, there's child labor laws out there. And basically, when you work for your parents, there are no labor laws.
There are no labor laws, but he's 17, so we're past that.
So he's negotiating.
Yes, he's negotiating.
Okay, smart kid.
Yes, he is negotiating. So,
but with that acceptance of money,
yeah,
he understands you have responsibility.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we
good
sat,
for you. Good.
Yeah, he's a good kid. I sat down with him.
Well, good and kid is an oxymoron statement.
I know. It really is. I seem to have three of those, though.
I was never the good kid.
Yeah, no. For some reason, I got three of them, and I'm just waiting to see which one, like, starts to rebel and when.
It goes out of the bound. It goes out of the lane.
One's going to. It like, there's three of them, so the odds are at least one. I think it's going to be the daughter. I think she's going to be
like
the problem.
Like the mom.
Yeah, she's going to be the problem.
Something about apples not falling far from the tree?
Yeah, something like that.
Or the pine cone?
I tell her all the time, I'm like, baby, one day you are gonna hate me. She's like, no, I'm not, mommy. I'm like, oh, it's coming. And I already see the
attitude. How old is she?
She's 10. So it's coming.
13.
Yeah, 13-ish.
It starts.
Yeah, it's already begun. There's things. It's already begun.
Two women in the house.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Two
hot browns in the house.
I was just going to say strong will.
Two hot browns. That's what you got.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my.
The poor boys in my house.
I pity your dad.
Yeah.
I pity your husband.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too, most days.
You know, it's really nice seeing, you know, I come in here, and about once a week I see him bringing in your lunch. Maybe
he's actually doing that right now. He's bringing me some soup.
Very nice and well-trained.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I've been sick for like 6 days. I just can't kick whatever this is. And I'm not contagious anymore, but like, man, it's still there. My voice isn't 100%. Like, my head, I feel it. And I'm just like, can't really eat. He's like, I'll bring you some soup.
So basically, you run my two favorite stations.
Yes.
KFAR, yep. Where... Yeah, you keep me on a short leash.
I keep you on a short leash.
Yeah. Once in a while, you wrap around my neck.
I also deal with you complaining and whining all the time.
These are legitimate complaints. You know, this is. Am I?
There's only one bigger baby out there, and that is a baby elephant.
Am I misconstruing my working environment?
No, not at all.
Okay. I mean, you can't make
these
this
are tough
stuff
conditions
up.
Here.
You cannot make this stuff up. And I work across from senior management.
Yes, you do. Who's also controlled by way, way upper management.
Yeah, yeah. And you also operate my favorite music station.
96.9 The River.
Yeah, and you know, I listen to you in the morning, and you know it's some once in a while I say it's just a little bit too early for that. You know, when you go heavy Led Zeppelin, which I like, you know, that's good afternoon.
Hey, that's when I get pumping. When you hear the heavy stuff, I've probably been up since about 3:30.
Yeah, it's quite apparent.
Just blast. I'm like, let's rock.
Yeah, and but where do you get these caricatures from? Like, you know, the yams, you know, those
like the yam eater and all the little funny bits. So I have a service that we actually pay for here at the station, and it's station specific.
When you go with the evil Mike or whatever, you know, the Dr. Evil.
Yes.
Mr.
So like
Bezos, yeah, Bezos.
Yeah,
for Dr.
yeah, for
evil.
Jeff Bezos. Yeah. So I've got the evil doctor, which is Jeff Bezos. It's the evil Amazon founder. And then I've got like all kinds of Thanksgiving ones. On a daily, I get sometimes they are so funny. It's just it's a comedy network that's based out of New York, and they are specifically for radio DJs only, and they give me pure comedic gold consistently, and I adore them, and they are the greatest, and they give me so much. And you know, most days I'm like, okay, I'm not going to use it today, and then I open it up, I'm like, oh, I'm so using that. My favorites are like the Morgan Freeman ones. Morgan Freeman apologizes for things. That's my favorite. He's like, I'm sorry. Yeah, good times.
And let's see, you have yourself, Rockin' Wendy.
And then VMAX.
VMAX. And once in a while, Perry Z.
Perry Z's on the weekends,
yeah. Yeah, he steps in. He does a great job, too.
Yep, and we're actually changing up things a little bit on the river. So,
what do you mean?
Well, so if you listen to the river, we used to have nights with Alice Cooper. Yep. Alice retired. He's gone.
He got fired.
Yeah, he got fired. Let's not lie. He got fired for saying the bad thing out loud. So, yeah, they let him go. And, you know, he was going.
Vincent got fired.
Yeah, it was. Anyway.
He had a great show.
He did.
I really enjoyed his show.
Yeah, no, he had a great one. And he was, you know, it was one of those that, like, he kind of just kept it real. And I really liked it. But Alice ain't coming back. I hung on for a little while there, like, hoping.
Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Alice isn't home anymore. So we are picking up Steve Gorman Rocks. And it's a really great nighttime show put on by Steve Gorman and a lady named April. And they are funny as hell. And fits right along with the music. And we're going to start that on the 4th of December. So we'll have a brand new show put in, working on all my new clocks and all my liners. The river's kind of going to go through a little revamp here in the next week and a half. And it's going to be a good thing.
You know what starts for me next Monday?
What starts for you?
My 8th year.
Oh, yes.
8 years.
That's crazy.
It's not.
That means that I've known you for 7. Because you came the year before I started.
I pity you.
Yeah, I pity myself. Wow.
Hold it. Fairbanks, so far, she has survived the event.
Yes. I survive on the daily.
but 8 years doing this, it goes by so fast.
It does. Yeah. Now, you know, you do a good job. You know, the one thing that you hear out there about Problem Corner is really funny. I'll tell people, you know, that I once in a while do Problem Corner with David Proves, and somebody will go, Problem Corner? Oh, I remember back in the day and the song. And I'm like, yep, the song's still the same. We have not changed the Problem song.
I know. And we had a fun time. You know, we got both the far left and the far right mattered us this year.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That is great.
Oh, man.
David James, sorry, buddy. We took you down. We took you down for you. Sally Duncan, got you riled. You know, the extreme left, the extreme right, guess what?
Well, you know, here's what I will say about that. You know, it's we all do have our own opinions, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not you agree, whether or not you disagree, bottom line is we do all have opinions and we are allowed to express them. And that's the great thing about America is we don't all have to agree. And I just hope that maybe one day you and I can help pave that path of, hey, it's politics. We all have opinions.
Yeah.
We all have something to say. That's why we live in America.
And learn from us.
Learn from us. Learn from everybody, right? We all learn from each other.
Well, it's time for us to close the shop. It's been a good show. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
You ready for Thanksgiving?
This afternoon I will be.
Good luck. Stay away from Costco. I heard it's busy.
I'm not going to go to Costco.
I will say, before we wrap up the show real quick, I will say the food bank, if you want to donate a turkey, they are still collecting them through 5 p.m. today. They make their deliveries tomorrow. They're looking for all kinds of stuff. Food drives like crazy going on. So please get out there, donate. And Jeans is having a toy drive.
Sam Kearson, she's a town jewel.
She is. And so is Ann Weaver. I love them to death.
Yep. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you tomorrow.